Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, is this complete your thought on Zach Taylor?
Yeah, pretty much. There's not much to.
I just want to make sure you've been able to express the thoughts you have around Zach Taylor. Go ahead, Adam. Can you? Because here's Adam. Did you see Lawrence's? Did you see Lawrence's burner account tweet this at me yesterday?
P Dubs.
Yeah, P Dubs.
That's P Dubs. UW.
Yeah. At Matthew Berry
tomorrow. Recite through his face.
Yeah. Can you please let Lawrence finish a thought on the podcast? Is what
that,
P Dubs asked
that,
me.
That is my burner right there. I actually got that connected to my NBCU email. So right. That's how they caught me.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. Fellas, it's good to be back with you.
Good to have you back, Connor.
Thank you.
It's very good to...
I don't have a license to drive this thing, so it's good to have you back.
Yeah, it was awkward without you here, I have to be honest with you. It was uncomfortable. Jay had more power than...
That's true.
...than honestly any of us were comfortable with. But we didn't talk about this on the show. Jay wanted to. I kept it private because that's like... I'm a vault. This one.
Where was Lawrence in this?
Lawrence was just out to lunch.
Lawrence was just around.
Yeah, around. But there's a reason why you missed the last couple of days.
Yeah, my lovely aunt and godmother unfortunately passed away. My aunt Dean, who was a huge supporter of everything I've done in the sports media space. So it was, you know, obviously a tough couple of days and obviously a very unexpected couple of days. And I got to watch you guys and still got a couple laughs, as I always do, which I really, really appreciated during that time. And I'm really happy to be back, but just wanted to, you know, give her a shout because it's when you're trying to make it in this space, you need really important support people because it's a space that it seems crazy when you're trying to work in, and having those people is really important. So we'll miss her dearly.
So no doubt. Rest in peace.
Thank
100%.
You.
Yeah, like I said, Jay didn't want to honor her, but I insisted. So anyway.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Connor.
Thank you.
It's great
to be back.
Very good to have you back. By the way, I also thought, you know, maybe like her family should drink free, you know, just as kind of an honor.
We did that last night.
But yeah,
Irish funeral.
Right, of course, which is fantastic. But just so you know, Stephen D'Agostino also shot that down.
Yes.
In terms of
everybody's
just in terms of
me
like
and you
it
right
is.
Now. It's really crazy.
You only have one friend on the show and it's me.
I know.
Just so you know.
I often say this.
Everyone's against you.
I often say this.
Don't listen to anyone else, only me. Don't trust anyone else, only me.
When I was watching on my phone at all kinds of places over the last 3 days, everybody around me kept saying that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you really only have one person that has your back on this entire show.
Right.
I was like, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
We're going to get through it. But it's great to be back, and I would not miss for the life of me the show leading up to the best Thursday night game that we
finally. So you still got it.
We are.
Still got it.
Us and Al
so
Michaels.
So much better than Jay.
Finally waiting for this game.
So
listen, we will get into all of the love-hate for today. But before we do, let's get into the Roto-World player news because we'll have some stuff on this Thursday night game. But for all your Roto-World player news, go to NBCSports.com where there's a new first-round mock draft for me as well if you're into that sort of thing. But the injuries we're tracking.
Your mock draft crushed, by the way.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Like, honestly, go back and look at his mock draft from last year at this time. Pretty accurate. I mean, honestly, for where we are in the season, like, some really nice calls. So check that out, NBCSports.com. Again, I'm a company man. Again, do you see Jay giving you love? No, absolutely not.
Jay, this plotting against
Steven, this is what I do.
I'm a sage. 1,000%.
Kind of waiting for Lawrence to pop out somewhere and just stone cold stunner Jay.
As
the show goes on. But listen.
Very Game of Thrones.
Keenan Allen did not practice with the shoulder injury. Pretty concerning right now. Tyler Lockett didn't practice. He's been dealing with this hamstring and feels like he's been able to get himself ready for game days each week. Noah Brown and Damian Pierce were down as well. We'll keep an eye on them. Raheem Mostert. Seems like some management there. Devon Achane limited with practice, but things are trending the right way for him. TJ Hockenson and Justin Jefferson were limited. Hockenson's dealing with rib injury. Jefferson trying to work his way back. And Matthew Stafford and Justin Fields, both with their thumb injuries in full. Good news there.
The two that concern me the most, I mean, one is, I don't want to say Pierce concerns me the most just because he's been out the last, but that's the one that feels like, you know, like you've been out for 2 weeks and you're still not practicing on a Wednesday. That doesn't feel great. The one that to me sort of jumps out like, oh boy, and again, it's only a Wednesday, but Keenan Allen just showing up on the injury report because if he were to be out, suddenly that Chargers offense looks very, I mean, Quentin Johnson and, you know, whatever, Jalen Guyton, it just is like, how many times can Austin Eckler touch the ball is what that conversation becomes.
I think it's also troubling that Keenan Allen, so he hurt his shoulder, he came out, came back in, and then came out, went to the locker room. They put him back in as a decoy, and they just put him back in. I think he's got a touchdown after that, and now he's not practicing, so I don't know what's going on there, but that is concerning because they're already down personnel in Palmer and Williams, and to lose him as well, that would be big trouble. Also, Justin Jefferson, I think everyone just kind of expected that he would be back on Sunday night, and I think that's still the assumption. But, I mean, the commentary from Kevin O'Connell, not super, super encouraging when they say that, you know, he's got to ramp up pretty quickly to be able to play on Sunday night. So I think he's still going to go, but I was thinking that was 100%, and it's not 100%.
It's a Sunday night game, so obviously just make sure you have a pivot there. And we'll track this throughout the week. We'll see what he does today and what he does tomorrow, obviously. And then, of course, fantasy football pregame this Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern on Peacock and the NFL on NBC YouTube channel, 100% free. More questions. We'll talk about that all. Well, we're planning on it. We have a new producer on Sunday. I don't know what Steven's doing. Steven's boondoggling somewhere, and so we've got some new guy coming in for Sunday. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe it'll be better. Maybe Steven never comes back. Maybe it's producer Adam that's going to be on Sunday.
Wally pipped?
So
that'd be a tough situation.
We get Wally pipped. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Wally
that's
why Christina.
If I were Steven, and I'm not, if I were Steven, what I would say is, I would say, you know what? You know who should produce the show on Sunday is Jay. Because I know, I mean, listen, you got your job right back, right? No questions.
Yes.
Like, there wasn't even a question. They were like, Connor, can we send a plane to get you?
I actually came back a day early.
Exactly.
I came back a day early.
Exactly. They were like, Connor, please. So I think if I was Steven, again, and I'm not, but if I was Steven, I'd be like, who could produce this show that guarantees I get my job back next week?
Croucher.
And Croucher is the guy. But honestly, you know, he went with Adam, who produces our Wednesday show. Adam does a great job.
There's a risk factor.
There's a real risk factor.
Elevate Blake for a day. It's like elevating the practice
Blake?
Squad. Put Blake on the 53 man
Blake's
roster.
Not even there.
I know. Penn State Blake. We're doing nothing but Penn State. You know, like hey,
Big Ten.
We actually haven't seen Blake.
Why are we doing a section on LeVar Arrington and Kerry Collins?
Jeez, God.
Those were the first two Penn State guys that came to mind for whatever reason.
Michael Parsons.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I didn't want to do something referenced because it's not funny if it's Saquon Barkley we are actually going to talk about.
That's fair.
Give me a second, guys. I just got to explain humor to Connor. The idea here is that if we talked about Michael Parsons or Saquon Barkley, those might legitimately come up on Sunday. The joke is because Penn State Blake went to Penn State, he's putting in a segment that we wouldn't normally talk about Penn State players that aren't relevant to fantasy football at all.
Should have mentioned Jahan Dotson. That would have been a good one.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I always have a comeback. I start off slow, but
All right, there you go.
You dropped your pen. We haven't seen Penn State Blake since Penn State got decimated by Michigan, so he might he might just not work here anymore.
All right, let's get to the Thursday night football injuries as promised. T. Higgins out with the hamstring. Not good. Andre Josivas out with the knee injury. Devin Duvernay, questionable. So the wide receiver injuries could play a pivotal role in this game here, Jay, especially, of course, T. Higgins being mentioned in that area.
Yeah, heavy load for Jamar Chase upcoming. Tyler Boyd as well, who was awesome against the Texans until he dropped that pass to win the game. But expect that the offense is going to flow through those guys and even guys like Trenton Irwin if you're desperate in deeper leagues. I suspect that Cincinnati's going to be throwing a lot tonight, and those will be the guys.
The two games T. Higgins has missed, and again, before you even get to, how do I pronounce
Andre Osemus.
Osemus, thank you very much. Even if forgetting, I mean, his injury is actually more significant than you would think in terms of just, you know, available targets because he was playing some snaps. Irwin's in the two games that T. Higgins has missed, 10 for 114 and a touchdown on 14 targets over those two games. He's averaging almost 14 fantasy points per game in a game in which Cincinnati's on the road at Baltimore as 3.5-point underdogs. They might be throwing a decent amount here. By the way, I actually think Baltimore just – I think they boat race Cincinnati from an offensive standpoint. You know what I mean? Like, I just think – I have Lamar Jackson at number one. We're going to get into my love-hate here in a little bit. But I feel like if Cincinnati is to win this game, it ain't going to be defensively. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase are going to have to keep up with the Ravens. It feels like a big game's coming for the Ravens offense.
Yeah, I think so. And also, think about back to the playoff game these two teams played last year where Tyler Huntley very nearly beat the Bengals.
On the road.
On the road. And if they just hadn't had that fumble at the goal line, return 99 yards for a touchdown, they probably win that game. So I think Joe Burrow may struggle against what is a really good Baltimore defense that I think is going to be out for revenge after what happened last week against Cleveland. So it's a tough matchup for the Bengals and not that tough of a matchup for Baltimore after what C.J. Stroud and Devin Singletary did to them last week.
With that, let's jump into love hate, and we will start with the running backs. We brought up, of course, Devon Achane before on the injury report, and we got to hear from head coach Mike McDaniel on how he's progressing.
Achane, I know you were talking about him earlier. Given what you know about his injury, is he the type of guy that you'd be able to put back in his typical workload, or would you have to ease him?
What kind of money do you have in fantasy football?
And that was Cam Wolf who asked the question. So Cam Wolf drinks free. He's looking out for us.
He is. He tries.
Like, he really
so I worked with Cam Wolf at ESPN. We were both there for a while. Big fantasy football player. He would text me all the time. Like, he's hardcore player, really good dude as well. Obviously a great reporter, does a great job. But yeah, he legit tried to sneak one in there and he tweeted it out. So we appreciate it, Cam. Mike McDaniel's on to us.
Yes.
Damn it. But
he didn't go full Arthur Smith, but
exactly. Yeah. He's the anti-Arthur Smith. Anyway, Mike McDaniel's on to us, but Cameron Wolf gave it a good try there. And we appreciate you looking out for us. So yes, absolutely. Cameron Wolf drinks free today at the happy hour.
And Matthew, Mostert and Achane come in as top 20 running backs for you this week, both of them.
They're playing Las Vegas, and they're at home, by the way. Again, Miami off the bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this. They're angry. They got embarrassed overseas. They, you know, the narrative of they can't be a good team is still there. Las Vegas is not a good team, but they want to show what they can do. Over the last 4 weeks, Raiders allow the most rushing yards per game to opposing running back. Devon Achane is expected back. We'll see about the workload. I don't know that the workload matters. He's a guy that can have a massive fantasy day on just 8 touches. You know what I mean as well? He's had 3 games with just 10 touches this season, with at least 10 touches. He's got 120 yards from scrimmage in all of them. Raiders, by the way, allowing almost 150 yards on the ground to opposing running backs. So, yeah, Mostert and Achane, both inside my top 20. Both of them have top 10 upside. We assume that Achane will be active. You're starting both of these guys, both of them, make the love list in week 11.
I think this game's going to be a complete destruction. The line is 13.5. I think it could get bigger. Yeah, it could get bigger. Aiden O'Connell, I know people are kind of talking up Aiden O'Connell because he's plucky and he's got moxie and stuff. He is not being good.
Because he threw a jump ball that Michael Mayer made an unbelievable play in the end zone.
And so
you look at
Zach
the box
Wilson.
Score and you're like, look, he threw a touchdown, blah, blah, blah. You know what Aiden O'Connell's best skill is? I'll tell you, and like, we like Aiden O'Connell. I interviewed the kid. He juggles. He's a nice kid. We like him. We like the kid. But yeah, it's a fun skill. What skill do you have?
It's a fun little act that Aiden O'Connell has.
What skill do you bring to the table?
Juggling mustache, man.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I can't juggle either. Okay. I trust if the three of us and Aiden O'Connell were at a party, everyone's over with Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, watching
and they're
the
ignoring us, dumb assholes. Yeah. Like, but what I'm telling you, though, is that the best thing Aiden O'Connell has going for him is that he doesn't have C.J. Uzomah on his team to have a holding penalty to take back the touchdown.
From Josh Jacobs.
From Josh Jacobs, you know, because Breece Hall should have scored a touchdown. you know, he did score a touchdown, but then C.J. Uzomah, one of his 8 billion penalties. That's a real number, by the way, not exaggerated. He literally had 8 billion penalties in that game.
PFF tracks these things.
It's unbelievable. Yes. And anyway, I may have had Breece Hall in a guillotine league where I got eliminated. May have had Breece Hall in a bet or two. Not a big C.J. Uzomah fan these days.
You and all Jets Nation at the moment, right?
Well, I don't know if you get into this on your podcast. I don't listen to it. I just download
it's okay.
it. But on your podcast, Connor, like, did you talk about the fact that everyone wants to just bail on Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh coming out and saying, I'm sticking with it. I think he's playing pretty well. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You know what he doesn't do? He doesn't block. He doesn't have penalties. He doesn't make awful drops.
Like Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard might be the worst wide receiver in the NFL. I'm dead serious.
Like, yeah, no, it's not. You're not wrong at all at this point, especially for a number two paid like a borderline number one-ish. Number two, it makes $11 million a year. It's been awful.
Awful.
It's been awful.
And I'm just like, I get it. Zach Wilson has made some bad plays, but like to put all the Jets' issues on Wilson is completely unfair to that kid. Yeah. Like, it's awful. And the play calling, I think, is a suspect.
Been a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they're getting guys out there that have as much business blocking as I do. Some of these guys, some of these practice squad guys, they're not even good enough to be in a practice squad, and they're out there on the offensive line.
We should
line.
Recreate pros versus Joe's fantasy football happy hour.
I was just envisioning Matthew trying to kind of stunt against CJ Uzomah or whatever, and just try to get to the quarterback. That'd be quite good content.
I'll tell you what would happen is he would hold me.
Yeah.
Because he can't help himself. Yeah. He wouldn't need to. He could literally just block me like this, but like he would grab a jersey or something like that.
Sounds personal at this point. Seems a little personal.
Everyone that has Breece Hall on their fantasy team is, yes, it's personal. Okay. All right, I'm fired up.
All right, let's keep it
rolling. I
didn't
get a lot of sleep last night.
Yeah, let's keep it rolling then. Our next one here, Jay.
Connor back. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, thank you. I'm trying to keep the vibes up a little bit.
Yeah.
Happy to have Connor back. Happy not to have CJ Uzomah hosting the show. It's great.
Exactly. Yeah, Steven's going on a vacation.
Steven's had enough.
Truly had enough. We'll see if he comes back.
Now that I think about it.
Our next running back here, Jay, Jahmyr Gibbs, comes in as a top five running back play this week for Matthew and Gibbs with his snap rate going up. Even with Montgomery back, Gibbs still highly effective in this Detroit offense.
Yeah, I think Gibbs is the guy you want going forward. Oh, yeah. And Montgomery's still going to have a lot of value. But Gibbs, just with that breakout performance against the Raiders, I think he's just asserted that he's just the better running back. And I think that they are beginning to feel that. In Detroit, Montgomery wasn't getting the goal line work as much against the Chargers. And now they go up against the Bears, who admittedly have a really good run defense. But Gibbs can get his work in the passing game. I'm surprised the Lions are only 7.5-point favorites at home in this one against Chicago.
I'm a little... The Lions this week are weird. We talked about a lot of them yesterday as well. But look, no team in the NFL has allowed more receiving yards to opposing running backs than the Chicago Bears. You mentioned, Jay, about Gibbs being involved in the passing game. I expect that as well. He's my running back five. Look, I believe Montgomery is still a top 20 running back, still started. But to your point, the concern at the beginning of the year was, can Jahmyr Gibbs, the way he's built and because he's a rookie, can he handle a full workload? And then because of injury to Montgomery, he was thrust into a role where he had to prove that he could, and he proved that he could in a massive, massive way. And so they like Monty, and he's still going to get his. But the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs and not Dave Montgomery got the goal line work against the Chargers just sort of tells you there's a little bit of a changing of the guard. Again, I don't think it matters because for our purposes, it comes down to am I starting this guy and I'm not? And if you have Gibbs and or Montgomery, the answer is yes, you're starting them. You're starting both guys this week, but Gibbs is a top five running back play for me, even with Montgomery back against the Bears.
Our next one here, Matthew, Javonte Williams, helped your best bet cash for Monday Night Football, comes in as a top 10 running back. And here's the thing with Javonte right now. He is finally, and the injury played a huge part in this, being used as the workhorse we expected him to be when he was such a promising prospect.
Back-to-back games now with 25 or more touches. And what's nice is it hasn't just been between the tackle stuff. They're using him in the passing game a little bit, almost a 16% target share over the last 3 weeks. And when we talk about that volume, that again, those 25 touches over the last two games, and he's had at least 15, like I think in three straight as well. Running backs that get at least 17 touches against the Vikings, and that's who the Broncos host on Sunday night right here on NBC and Peacock. I'm a company man. Running backs that get at least 17 touches against the Vikings average 17.5 fantasy points. Now, an average, Jay, I know you're not a math guy, but what an average means is that it's like a median score, like because there are some people that score higher than 17.5 fantasy points, and there's some that are lower. But in essence, that's your average. That's kind of your floor is what we're talking about here. So there's a chance that Javonte Williams goes over 17.5 fantasy points in this one. That's how math works.
Wow, so I went on when I was gone.
You want to take notes? Go ahead.
Can I give you another number, another piece of math? So here's the other thing, is that the Broncos, their pass rate over expected is 26th in the NFL. And I think that really came to the fore against the Bills, where they don't want to let Russ cook. They've locked away the chef's hat. They've locked him out of the kitchen, and it's handoffs. They were playing as though Zach Wilson was their quarterback instead of Russell Wilson against Buffalo. So I think that this is a team that just wants to run the ball, and they don't want to put it in Russ's hands.
And especially with their defense playing better as well, it just that makes sense. And by the way, it's working for – like, it'd be one thing if it's just like, what are you doing, Denver? But honestly, like, they've been one of the better teams in the NFL the last couple of weeks. Like, beating the Chiefs and the Bills in back-to-back games, that's like, okay, Denver, I see you. You know, and so I have Javonte Williams as a top 10 play this week.
Some others receiving votes here. Jerome Ford, Brian Robinson, and Ty Chandler all come in as top 25 plays this week. Jay, Ford's got the Steelers. Brian Robinson against the Giants defense, which, you know, a lot of running backs have had success there. And then Ty Chandler with Alexander Mattison's concussion looked pretty spry for the Vikings last week as well.
He did. Jerome Ford's interesting to me just because now he's in this new offense with DTR. I'm shocked that the Browns were able to run the ball as effectively as they did against Baltimore. I think that bodes well now. You're going up against a less fearsome rushing defense with the Steelers. And then with Ty Chandler, I think that it was instructive just the way that James Cook was able to run the ball against the Broncos. They've gotten better since that Miami disaster, but still, that's not a run defense that you fear. So I think Ty Chandler might have a good game if Alexander Mattison cannot go.
Yeah, but he's still in the concussion protocol. We'll continue to track that as well. But I agree with you there. Last 4 weeks, to your point, Broncos allow 5.8 yards per carry to opposing running backs. That is the most in the NFL. It's all about touches. Like, again, with DTR under center, we expect a lot of work for Jerome Ford, who already has gotten 43 touches the past two games with Deshaun Watson under center. So with DTR, you expect them to go even more run heavy. That offensive line is a strength of the Browns offense. Steelers have allowed 100 rushing yards in six straight. And then Brian Robinson, it's been up and down. I don't expect the passing game usage from last week to continue, but I do think he gets into the end zone. No team in the NFL has allowed more rushing touchdowns this year than the New York Giants. Brian Robinson keep scoring against the Giants. If they get in close, it's usually him. Love Robinson is an anytime touchdown bet this week against the Giants as well. Worth noting that 83% of the team running back touches inside the 10-yard line for the Commanders this year have gone to Brian Robinson. When they get in close, they give it to B-Rob.
Moving over to the hate list led by Isaiah Pacheco. Still comes in as a top 25 running back for you, Matthew, but he's hit a little bit of a slump, and you don't want to see the Philadelphia Eagles when you're looking to break out of one at the running back position.
No team allows less rushing yards per game to running backs than the Philadelphia Eagles. There has not yet to be a running back that has had over 60 rushing yards this season against Philadelphia. Like, that's how good they are. Like, literally, the next guy to get 60 yards against the Eagles running the ball will be the first this season as well. In fact, since week two, there have been only two running backs in the NFL that have scored double-digit fantasy points against the Eagles. So,
and they let Breece Hall score, by the way.
Yeah.
They let him score.
Right, exactly.
So think about that.
They let him score. And what's weird is Uzama still held on the play.
They just didn't see
it. But the refs didn't see it. Go back and watch the film. You'll just see the refs just totally missed it. But Uzama did everything he could to, you know,
sink Breece Hall's touchdown equity.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean McDermott actually tried to fire CJ Uzama yesterday, but then he was informed.
People.
I listened to the whole press conference. Actually, they blame Uzama's lack of development on Ken Dorsey. Yeah. And so that's one of the reasons why Dorsey was fired by the Bills, is because Uzama has yet to develop for the Jets or the Bengals. You know, the other thing here, by the way, about Pacheco, I should say, is he's had under 70 yards from scrimmage in four of the past five. This feels like, I'll just say this, and you see it there on your screen in terms of what Pacheco has done. What do we always say? What do you do against Philadelphia? Start your tight ends.
Yeah.
This feels like, so, and now you've got the best tight end in football. This feels like a big, for a lot of reasons, a big Mahomes-Kelsey game. Not only because of the matchup, not only because it's Mahomes versus Hurts, not only because the Chiefs coming off of a loss. We know how good Andy Reid is off the bye, and just all the hoopla that is surrounded about are the Chiefs over, blah, 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 and all the stuff. And, you know, I bet you, you know, Travis went to Argentina and said, like, listen, T-Swizzle, need you back in the States. Let's go.
We need to beat the Eagles.
We need to beat the Eagles.
I think that, so there's been so much chatter
about. And by the way, I believe this is true. I don't want any of the Swifties to come after me because, listen, I'm one of you. I'm a Swiftie. I believe she grew up in Pennsylvania and that she's a Steelers fan prior to this relationship with, like, but that is her. I believe the Steelers are her team.
Were her Kenny team. Kenny
Pickett. Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
That's fair. That's
the biggest Matt Canada fan.
Yeah. That's approved. Yeah.
You think Pat Freiermuth is like, thanks, this could have been me.
Yeah. She was so close.
So close.
There's been so much chat about the Chiefs' offense and it being just kind of, it's just not working as well as it did last season. The passing offense is fine. They've got the fifth most efficient passing offense. Patrick Mahomes is doing his job. They have the third worst rushing offense, which is just inconceivable with the amount of light boxes that you must get when you have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. So I'm not sure what is going on there, whether it's the play calling, whether it's the blocking, but I do think they're going to come out and they're going to throw the ball a ton against Philadelphia because we saw what Dak Prescott did to them last time we saw this Philadelphia defense. It's not a great pass defense at the moment. I think that coming out of the bye, Andy Reid, 2 weeks, how do we fix this? Let's give it to Patrick Mahomes more.
Right.
So I think that's the answer.
And I like the Chiefs minus -3. Again, okay. Andy Reid off of a bye, especially in the Mahomes era, is like, I think he's got one loss. Yeah, so.
Moving over to those Steelers, led by Najee Harris here. Sorry, Jay. RB26 for Matthew this week, and a week that Jalen Warren is now the guy.
It's Najee.
They came out and announced. They officially announced Jalen Warren is
the starter.
They didn't
have to say that.
They didn't have to. Like, you know, anyone who watched football sort of knew that. But it, you know, while it is ceremonial in nature because both guys are still going to play a lot, I think it's important for the team and the locker room and just, you know, for the player. That is Jalen Warren, not Najee Harris, who is so touchdown dependent. In games in which he doesn't get a touchdown, Jay, he's averaging under 8 fantasy points per game.
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah, because you love Najee Harris. You love him like he's one of your own children.
I'm not blocking for him.
By the way, 6 of 9 games this season. There have been only 3 games this entire year that the Browns have allowed a running back to score a rushing touchdown. 6 out of 9, no dice. And so, again, Harris, who without a touchdown is fairly useless in fantasy, don't love this matchup as well. Browns allow the 6th fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. I have Harris outside my top 25 for the week.
Yeah, I think back to when these two teams played in that primetime game in week 2 and just the fact that the Steelers, their attempts to run the ball were just comical. They averaged 2.6 yards per carry, and that's because Najee kind of flukishly broke 2 10-yarders from memory. So I just don't think they're going to be able to run the ball at all. Najee, I don't know if he's injured or he just looks so slow out there. Yeah. He cannot make guys miss in the open field. It's like watching Latavius Murray trying to beat DJ Jones, but every play for Najee Harris just can't do it. And
but
Jalen Warren,
like a slow Latavius Murray.
I know
Latavius Murray is like 33. Yeah.
I'm just
32?
Saying, like if Latavius Murray and Najee Harris had a 40-yard dash, like I think I'd put my money on Latavius.
Yeah, and I'd certainly putting my money on Jalen Warren over among the three of them. He just seems to add a lot more burst to their offense.
Yeah, he does. And I mean, just the entire offense looks just awful. And, you know, I think if you're the Browns, you're like, we'll take our chances with Kenny Pickett throwing it.
Our last one here is Darrell Henderson against the Seahawks. Really, Jay, besides the disaster against the Ravens, the Seahawks have had a tough front seven against running backs this year. And the Rams, they're a team that's clearly waiting on Kyren Williams to come back and make an impact that the running backs they've been rolling with have not.
Yeah, and this is a solid defense in Seattle. I think there was the hope that they might be an elite defense. I don't think that's the case. They got really lit up by Baltimore. But outside of that, I mean, this is a borderline top 10 rushing defense in terms of efficiency. So I think it's going to be difficult. And also, think about what Puka Nacua did to the Seahawks back in week 1 when they played. Like, you can beat Seattle through the air. And with Stafford back, I think they'll be throwing the ball.
I mean, that's the key, right? Stafford's back, the offense will be more efficient. I think it's going to be Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, who I both have inside my top 20 this week. If there's one positive for Henderson, it is that he is involved in the passing game, like him over Freeman in terms of the running back you want in the passing game. But to your point, Connor, about Seattle being so tough, literally there are 2 running backs. There's only 2 running backs this entire year that have run for at least 60 yards against the Seahawks. Take out that Ravens game, which is just bad day at the office. They were on the road. Keaton Mitchell has big runs. If you take out that Baltimore game, Seattle allows just 3.2 yards per carry to opposing running backs. So they have been very good. Henderson's averaging under 3 yards per carry in his 3 games as a Ram. It's either him or Royce Freeman that might fall into the end zone. Freeman got the last goal line carry. He's outside my top 25. Like, I think he's a desperation flex, barely inside my top 30.
Get your weekday started with Bet the Edge. Join Jay and Drew Dinsick as they tackle the biggest games from every angle in the NFL, NBA, and more.
I have to get my day started
with them? Your day started, yes. Cup of coffee, Bet the Edge. So whether you're targeting spreads and totals, looking for value in futures markets, or circling player props, Jay and Drew have you covered with new episodes every weekday. 6 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, my God.
Early bird, Jay.
Thank you, Donna. Good raid.
Early bird.
Love the raid.
I just, like, if they did the show with Drew, I'm in.
Too much Jay?
Yeah, a little bit too much Jay.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. Because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You feel like bye week came at the right time, not just for your injury, but also for the team as a whole to kind of refresh and reboot?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the bye, especially at this point in my career. Whenever it wants to show up, I'm ready for it. If you want to have two of them, I'm cool with that too. But yeah, for me, it definitely was it was the right time.
That was Matthew Stafford, who said he is very cool with two bye weeks if everybody else is down. I think he's not getting that luxury anytime soon here, fellas.
No, I mean, he's got – it's you or Carson Wentz, dude. Yeah, get out there.
Yes.
Yeah. They got a real backup quarterback now. You know, old man Carson Wentz.
You know who will be very happy to see him? That is the man that tops the love list for pass catchers in Cooper Kupp against those Seahawks here. Matthew Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 6 going into this week.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's, you know, I think the struggles prior to the were because of injuries and because of, you know, inconsistent, I'm being kind here, quarterback play. But every game that Cooper Kupp has played this season, he's had at least a 25% target share. Two of the three full games he's played with Matthew Stafford, he's had at least 19 fantasy points. We talked about Seattle and their secondary and how that's a place you can tackle, you can especially attack in the slot. They allow the second most receptions per game to opposing slot players as well. And in fact, teams facing the Seahawks, to your point about them being a pass funnel defense, shout out Denny Carter. Teams playing the Seahawks this year averaging over 38 pass attempts per game. That is fifth most in the NFL. So, yeah, my little Cooper Kupp, top 6 play this week. He makes the love list, Jay.
Yeah, and it's just each week it's going to be probably a little bit of an awkward thing with who's getting more between him and Puka Nacua. But at the end of the day, for our purposes, it just doesn't matter because you're going to be starting both of those guys every week that Stafford is healthy.
Our next one here, Jay, Brandon Ayuk comes in as wide receiver 11 for Matthew. He's got a Bucs secondary that's been in a bit of a slump over the last 4 games, and Ayuk, obviously a very capable deep threat.
Yeah, think about what the Bucs gave up to CJ Stroud a couple of weeks ago, giving up 39 points to Stroud, and now all of a sudden the resurgent Brock Purdy and the Niners, they get that matchup. Again, another pass funnel defense in Tampa Bay. Ayuk is clearly the guy for Purdy, and he's just a locked-in elite wide receiver option at all times. I think it was good as well that we saw Brock Purdy. I mean, that's probably the best game he's played against the Jags last week, where so he seems to be completely right after the concussions, after 3 weeks of uneven play, and Ayuk is a major beneficiary.
It just feels like there's some sort of weird connection between Purdy and Ayuk that doesn't exist with some of the other players. And, you know, Purdy's been very good, as you've talked about, Jay, for many, many weeks here. But just to give some numbers to what you're talking about in terms of Tampa Bay and the matchup. Okay, fifth most fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers. That's the Buccaneers. They're also allowed for the third most touchdown passes allowed on deep passes. Why does it matter? Because almost 50% of Ayuk's targets this year, 47 to be exact, have come on deep passes. Like literally, like almost half his passes are on deep throws. And so you've got a Buccaneers defense that top 3 in the NFL in terms of most touchdown passes allowed to opposing wide receivers on deep passes here. Bingo, bango, ipso facto. They're going to throw long to Brandon Ayuk. He'll He'll catch it for a touchdown, and you'll say, "Oh, thank you, Barry. Yeah. That was a good." Okay. And I'll be like, "Oh, Luigi,
subtle return.
Show. I appreciate you."
Oh man,
I was going to make another point. I'm not sure I can after that. No, I'll do it anyway.
Go for it.
So I also think it was instructive that that touchdown pass that Purdy threw to Ayuk against the Jags, he really shouldn't have thrown that ball. Really should not have put that up, but he did, because I think that was just a trust level between him and Ayuk that he's just going to do the Taylor Heineke effort of throwing it up. Terry's down there somewhere.
Yep.
Same thing with Brandon and Brock.
Welcome back to the Loveless. Devontae Smith against the Chiefs comes in as a top 20 wide receiver. And with Devontae Smith here, Barry, you hate seeing Dallas Goedert down, but Devontae Smith's production and targets should go up with him down.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see it for the player, but if you have Devontae Smith on your roster and you don't have Dallas Goedert, you're okay with it. Like, hey, Dallas, you guys are going to the playoffs.
Take
it easy. Maybe come back for a little bit in Week 18. But in the five games Dallas Goedert missed last season, he had a 27% target share. He averaged 84 yards and over 15 fantasy points per game in those games. It's worth noting that the Chiefs have allowed a touchdown to an opposing wide receiver in 7 of 9 games. Now, it's probably going to be A.J. Brown, let's be clear. But the fact of the matter is that more target in a game in which we think Philadelphia is going to have to score to keep up with the Chiefs, I should say, I think Devontae Smith gets a nice uptick in target share. When they've been out, when Goddard has been out, there's no one else that steps up. They're not like, oh, here's this, you know, backup tight end, or here's this third wide receiver. Here's this. There's no Tyler Boyd, if you will, or Josh Palmer. There's no third guy that seems to step up when Goddard has been out. It's literally just, it's A.J. Brown, it's Devontae Smith, and otherwise they're just going to run it. It'll be Hurts and Swift. And so Smith comes inside my top 20.
Yeah, I think that was
wide receiver 18.
I think that was a cathartic touchdown as well against the Cowboys, against Deron Bland. I mean, Bland had decent enough coverage on the play, just perfect throw, perfect catch. And I think that after, particularly the Jets game where he's dropping all those passes, seemed like he was in his own head against the Dolphins as well. I think to be able to get right, and as you mentioned, the fact that there's no Dallas Goedert, it's just going to be Smith, Brown, in a game that they're going to have to throw a ton.
Our next one here, Trey McBride, on a real breakout since Zach Ertz went down for this team. And for Matthew this week, Jay, McBride comes in as tight end 5. He is a true factor at a position in fantasy that you could have got this guy off the waiver wire after the Ertz injury.
Yeah, let's throw out the Clayton Toon game in Cleveland, because that was just such a mess. You take that out, his past two games, 23 targets, 18 receptions, over 200 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, with Kyler Murray back, I'm not sure there's that many tight ends you'd want the rest of the season over Trey McBride outside of the elite of the elite.
Tight ends that have seen at least 7 targets against the Houston Texans, who the Cardinals play this week, are averaging over 14 fantasy points per game. Well, we expect Trey McBride to get a ton of targets in this game. Since Zach Ertz went down, he has a 32% target share. 32%!
Yeah.
That's a lot, Connor.
That's a lot. I know
I'm
math.
Just telling you. Like,
I know we're still working on math.
Yeah, no, I'm just, yes. Just that. Sometimes I just do this math in my head. I'm just telling you, 32% is a lot. Since Zach Ertz went down, he's the third best tight end in fantasy.
So, Hockenson, Kelce, Andrews, you'd rather have those three guys. You'd probably rather have Laporta. I mean, there's not many guys that before Trey McBride is really
Dalton Kincaid's in that conversation as well, but with Goddard hurt and Darren Waller hurt, and I mean, like, it's...
I'd rather have Trey McBride than George Kittle. The rest of the way.
I think the consistency, fair. Right?
Yeah. The consistency.
I think Kittle just has these games where he's 3 for 35.
Because they have so many weapons and they use Kittle to block. I mean, with Kyler Murray back, this is now a competent offense, and it's a competent offense that's going to have to throw because the Cardinals' defense is so bad.
Some others receiving votes here. Tank Dell coming in as wide receiver 22 against those Cardinals. Rashee Rice against the Eagles, wide receiver 35. Jaden Reed comes in as wide receiver 45, but does make the love list here. Cole Kmet, a top 12 play at tight end, and then Tyler Conklin as tight end 15 because he's had a good back-to-back games here, Matthew.
Yeah, and he's not C.J. Uzama. I mean, let's be honest. Like, you know, when Tyler Conklin's out on the field, you're like, we've got a shot at not having a touchdown called back due to penalty with Tyler Conklin.
He might even catch it.
He might even catch it. He's had 6 for 65 in back-to-back games now. By the way, Cole Kmet, second highest red zone target share among tight ends this season. There does seem to be a connection there as well. We expect the offense to be better. We expect Justin Fields back for Chicago as well. Look, Tank Dell's a thing. We keep talking about this. We know this. I know Noah Brown overshadowed him, but you heard us earlier in the show. Noah Brown, a little bit banged up. Who knows? He's had four games this year where he's had at least seven targets. He's had at least 18 points in all four of those games. We expect the Texans-Cardinals game, I think, has sneaky shootout potential.
Sure.
Stroud versus Murray. And so I like Tank Dell as a top 25 play. I'm at wide receiver 22. No team in the NFL allows a higher catch rate to wide receivers than Arizona.
Total's 48.5 in that game.
So I mean, just telling you. Exactly. Rashee Rice, again, Eagles, we talked about that secondary and the struggles there. Rice tied for the team lead in red zone targets. Eagles tied for the most touchdowns allowed to opposing wide receivers. So we think there's a decent chance Rice gets into the end zone. And then Jaden Reed quietly has at least 80 yards in two of the past three. Chargers do allow the highest catch rate and the third most yards per game to the slot, which is Reed, obviously, where he lines up for Jordan Love. I don't love Jordan Love, but I do think to the extent you're picking somebody out of this Packers passing offense, I do think Jaden Reed is, you know, a viable desperation wide receiver four.
Yeah, quietly Jordan Love as well has been playing a little bit better the past couple of weeks. Hasn't necessarily reflected
on throws.
He looks a little bit better. And also, this Chargers defense is an absolute disaster. They had no chance against Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I understand the Lions have a very good offense and a good offensive line, but it's not like he's going up against Patrick Mahomes in that spot.
No.
Like, or the Chargers aren't going up against Patrick Mahomes in that spot. So, and when they went up against Patrick Mahomes, he got absolutely shredded as well.
Absolutely shredded.
I think that the Packers should be able to move the ball against that defense.
All right, moving over here to the hate list, which is led by Diontae Johnson here. Jay, he's got the Browns. We've talked about or joked about on the show the struggles of Kenny Pickett as well, and I know Diontae Johnson's even a little banged up right now as well.
Yeah, just the tough matchup against the Cleveland defense. We saw what Kenny Pickett did, or rather didn't do against them in week two outside of that one bomb touchdown to George Pickens. So it's just a brutal matchup. And the Browns, like, I think the perception of their defense is a little bit skewed because they did give up 31 to Baltimore. There was a pick six from Kyle Hamilton, and they muffed a punt at the 12. So they didn't really give up much to Baltimore at all. They shut down Lamar Jackson. You can shut down Lamar Jackson, you can shut down Kenny Pickett.
That's factually correct.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. You know, if you can shut down Connor Rogers, you can shut down Kenny Pickett. I'm very bitter about Diontae Johnson. Again, he's the reason I'm out of two different guillotine leagues, him and Lamar Jackson. Travis Etienne didn't help any either. But I really blame – I put the majority of the blame on Diontae Johnson last week.
I was still going to say Denny Carter.
Denny Carter – freaking Denny Carter could not stop shutting up about Diontae Johnson and just kept carping for him. Yeah. And I was just like, okay. Like, I was a little nervous, but I own my own decisions.
Yeah, it's all about the man in the mirror.
It is the man in the mirror. I made the decisions. But I will say
you're
that had Denny Carter not been on the show, I might have made a different decision.
Okay.
All right, exactly.
Here's the good news. Denny Carter will be on the show tomorrow, as far as I know. He joins us every Friday.
Yeah, we'll put
so I'm up. Sure this will not be brought up
we'll
at all.
We'll get into an extra 2 minutes on this in the segment.
Absolutely, Stephen. log off. I want a different section tomorrow that is literally Matthew complains to Denny.
Yeah.
Matthew, Denny, and flamethrower.
Yeah.
Flamethrower to Carter.
But he's doing. I tweeted this out because he's doing some YouTube thing on the NFL and NBC YouTube channel.
Yeah.
He's doing
Q&A. Watch it.
He's doing a Q&A, and I demanded everyone go there and ask Denny
why
do you love Diontae Johnson so much? Why last week? It's a good question. So, I also set the line for Denny using the word funnel at 15.5, and I took the over.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? In an hour-long Q&A on YouTube, I set the line at 15.5. Is that a good line? You tell
That's
me.
That's pretty high. It's pretty high. But he does say funnel disproportionately for a regular human being.
Where would you the set NFL. The line?
More like a 12.5.
12.5, all right.
A little bit lower.
See, I might take the over on that.
But exactly, take the over. Like, I'm trying to read the market, and I feel
might
like
might be everyone, some insider kind of trading there with Denny.
Public's
going to
move that one. All right, Diontae Johnson, moral of the story. He comes in as wide receiver 33, followed by our next.
I'll give you some actual stats on the fact that Kenny Pickett sucks. Here you go. One wide receiver has caught more than five passes in a game against the Browns. They allow the lowest catch rate to opposing wide receivers as well. Steelers have the fourth lowest implied team total this week. We don't expect them to score a lot. And, oh, by the way, Kenny Pickett is hashtag not good.
Yeah. My stat for that is my two eyeballs watching Kenny Pickett every week.
Our next one here, Jordan Addison comes in as wide receiver 34.
Does it seem fair that Matt Canada has a job and Ken Dorsey doesn't
world? No, it's not a fair world, though, Matthew. Yeah. Never has been.
Ken Dorsey's looking at Nathaniel Hackett and Matt Canada and saying, how?
What the hell?
Oh,
boy. Make better friends. That's what it comes down to. Listen, this ranking here, Matthew, with Jordan Addison coming in as wide receiver 34, I mean, it's heavily based on the thought that Justin Jefferson makes his return this weekend.
That's correct. In the games in which Justin Jefferson has been active this season, he's had under a 15% target share over 21% when Jefferson's been out. So we just don't expect him to see a ton of looks with Jefferson there. Since week four, again, after that Miami game, that disaster, the 70-point game, Broncos have actually been a pretty good defense. They allow the third fewest fantasy points to opposing wide receivers, the fifth fewest yards per game to opposing wide receivers. Addison is at best the third option on that passing offense. It'll be Jefferson and Hockenson. He comes outside my top 30 this week. I'm at wide receiver 34.
Jay, how about Jerry Jeudy playing those Vikings? He comes in as wide receiver 37. He's only had one game this year with more than 64 receiving yards. It's just not happening for Jerry Jeudy. And you talked about this offense kind of turning Russell Wilson into
Zach Wilson.
A game manager.
Basically. So they don't throw the ball. When they do throw the ball, Cortland Sutton is the guy that you want. And now they go up against the Minnesota Vikings pass defense, which doesn't have amazing personnel, but has actually been really effective this year. Brian Flores is one of maybe the best defensive coordinator in football, super creative, and I think that he'll be able to take away whatever is going to happen in the Broncos passing game.
To your point, Vikings allow the fifth lowest catch rate to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks as well. And Jerry Jeudy has one end zone target this season.
Yeah.
Literally one. He has the same number as Chris Manhertz and Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Yes. Name generator. ChatGPT.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Absolutely. By the way, it's so funny you bring up ChatGPT. You should read my column today.
Oh, I've heard about this. I will check that out free on NBCSports.com. Our final wide receiver on the hate list, Gabe Davis against the Jets. I love when I see this note on the hate list, Barry. Matchup downgrade versus Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, a staple on the hate list.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's unbelievable how good they have been, and I think one of the reasons they've been so good is that C.J. Uzomah doesn't play defense. So when they play, when Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed make a good play, it stands.
Yeah.
It stands because the refs are looking around. Did C.J. Uzomah hold on that play? Oh, no, he didn't. He's on the sidelines. Okay, good. We can let that, that defended pass stand as well. Anyway, look. Jets have not allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver since week one. The Jets have
yet Stephon Diggs, not Gabe Davis.
Correct. Yeah. And the Jets have yet to allow double-digit fantasy points to multiple wide receivers in the same game. They have yet, if you figure one wide receiver gets to 10 points in this game, it feels like it's Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis is always a chance he scores, but I don't feel like it feels like a great option here. I'm outside my top 40 this week.
Someone's going to tell the Bills receivers that Josh Allen throws the ball hard. Like, he throws a tight spiral, he throws it hard. It's kept on bouncing off of their hands against Denver, including one by Gabe Davis.
Yeah, that was Ken Dorsey's fault. He should have told them.
It's true.
He goes, your quarterback that you catch passes from every single day, he throws it hard.
Yeah, that's why he's done that.
And Ken Dorsey should have said either, hey, Josh, take a little off of that, or heads up, Diggs and Davis, like, he throws it hard.
And hot.
But he didn't do either of those things, and that's why he's been fired.
Moving over to those quarterbacks, and we'll start with the loveless here. And who better to love right now, Jay, than C.J. Stroud? Love the player, love the matchup against Arizona.
Yep, best quarterback in the NFL from a clean pocket this year, and now he goes up against an Arizona team that doesn't really have a fearsome pass rush, so I would expect that C.J. Stroud, he will keep it rolling. He's going to hit a wall at some point to some degree, I think, when he plays like the Browns or the Jets later in the year, but not this week against the Cardinals.
He's had at least 30 pass attempts in 7 of 9 games this year. Quarterbacks with at least 30 pass attempts against the Cardinals average over 20 fantasy points per game. He's a top 5 quarterback play for me this week. I also love Tua Tagovailoa. We talked about this Dolphins offense earlier when we were talking about the running backs. Dolphins have the highest implied team total this week. And in home games, this game is in Miami, Tua averaging over 22 fantasy points per game. He's averaging 300 passing yards, 3 touchdowns in those games off the bye. Ready to prove something, Tua goes off against the Raiders.
Final quarterback on the love list, Jay, Brock Purdy comes in as a top 10 play, QB9. He's got the Bucs. We talked about how that secondary's been in a slump for about 4 games now.
Yep, absolutely. As we mentioned, pass, funnel, drink, defense in Tampa Bay. Brock Purdy seemed 100% right, 100% healthy. This might be the best throw he's ever made.
Especially in the
George Kittle streaking down the right sideline for a touchdown. So I think that Brock Purdy is all the way back and a hugely favorable matchup against Tampa Bay.
Some others receiving votes here, Matthew, as we get into the quarterback play. Sam Howell, Kyler Murray is back and looks like himself right away. And Jared Goff, he's got the Bears, so he sneaks in as QB12.
I have all 3 of these guys in QB12. Let's start with Goff, who's at home against the Bears. At home this season, he's averaging over 20 fantasy points per game. Only 2 teams in the NFL allow touchdown passes at a higher rate than Chicago. Goff should go off, especially given how well the running game is going. Kyler Murray, we talked about this. We so much like Stroud. Well, it stands to reason if that total is 48, they're both guys are going to go off. Over 30% of his pass attempts last week went for 15 or more air yards. Like, they're chucking it deep, and you know the rushing is going to be there with Kyler Murray. And future Hall of Famer Sam Howell. Look, when I was talking in the preseason about future Hall of Famer Sam Howell, like, did I think he would get into the Hall of Fame? Of course, that's why he's named future Hall of Famer Sam Howell. Did I think he would lead the NFL in passing yards? Not in year one. No. Like, I knew I was smart. I didn't realize I was that smart. Since week four, he's the fourth best quarterback in fantasy. He's playing the Giants, who allow the fifth most yards per pass attempt.
To make the hate list this week, Jay, Baker Mayfield, he's got the Niners defense, and Trevor Lawrence against the Titans. Lawrence just has not been able to string together multiple touchdowns during the season.
He hasn't. Tough matchup for Baker Mayfield. That's self-explanatory. Trevor Lawrence just hasn't happened for him this year. Titans playing a little bit better than expected on defense too, but I think he might get right this week, Matthew.
First off, about Baker Mayfield, did you know over the last month, he's been the sixth best quarterback in fantasy? So I want to be like, why are you hating Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield's been a QB1 in four of the past five games that he's played. But yes, against San Francisco, you don't love that. And we talked about Trevor Lawrence yesterday, one or fewer touchdown passes in 7 of 9 games this year. Titans, by the way, over the last since week four, allowing under 13 fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. Both guys outside my top 15 in week 11.
We're going to break. When we're back, it's last call. Of course, we got best bets and a preview for you for Bengals, Ravens, Thursday Night Football right after this.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It's time for Last Call. Let's take a look at the most bet player props for Thursday Night Football, courtesy of DraftKings. Keaton Mitchell, rushing yards, over 35.5. That's minus 120. Joe Burrow, passing touchdowns, over 1.5. Gus Edwards, rushing attempts, under 11.5. That's minus 160. Rashad Bateman, receptions, over 2.5. Mark Andrews, receiving yards, over 54.5. Jay, a lot of Ravens on the public right now. A
lot of Ravens. I like Keaton Mitchell over 35.5 rushing yards. I think he's going to be more involved in the offense after what he has flashed. But my best bet, Connor, going back to the vaunted sack well, yes. I'm taking Odafe Owe over 0.25 sacks at plus 160. He's averaging 4 pressures per game. Bengals do not have a good offensive line, ranked 25th in pass blocking efficiency by PFF. Joe Burrow took 4 sacks against the Texans. He took 4 sacks in the AFC wildcard game against the Ravens last year, where Owe had one of those. I think that Owe gets home for at least half a sack tonight.
I love it. Matthew, what are you looking
at? So, again, don't always love to tail the public. Rarely like to do that. But I think they're onto something here with the over on Mark Andrews at 54.5 receiving yards. I'll say I also kind of like the over on 4.5 receiving receptions, 4.5 receptions. And I like the Mark Andrews anytime touchdown at plus money. Bengals rank bottom 5 in the NFL in terms of most receptions and most yards allowed to opposing tight ends. They've given up at least 70 yards to opposing tight ends in 3 straight games. Okay, I mean, we saw what Dalton Schultz did against them. We saw, you know, they've on and on and on. And then we saw what Dalton Kincaid did against them like 2 weeks ago. They are bad against tight ends. And Andrews has scored in 3 of the last 4 against the Bengals, going all the way back to 2020. He scored in the first matchup against Cincinnati this year as well. He's had at least 1 end zone target in 3 of the past 4 games. I've already said this. I think Lamar has a big game. I think primetime Lamar shows up. I think Andrews is a big part of that. So give me the overs on receptions, receiving yards, and anytime touchdown for Mandrews.
Okay. It's the Ravens' triple crown on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour desk today, guys, because I'm looking at them as well. Keaton Mitchell over 8.5 receiving yards. That's what it's set at. That's one screen for Keaton Mitchell, 8.5. Now, I think this number lies here because the usage just hasn't been there, but they've been vocal this week that we need to get this guy more involved. And if you have eyeballs, you would agree. Keaton Mitchell is an explosive threat out of that backfield.
It could just be Devon Achane 2.0. Like, he's that fast. Really. He's that fast. So yeah. I think
maybe
he's
even Jaleel McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Like, it's great. Fine. Like, but, and I don't want to brag here. I don't want to brag, but I do have two eyeballs.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's using my material.
Listen, I mean, look,
get your own material.
What?
Get your own material.
No, the two I'm using your material and just pointing out that I do, in fact, have eyeballs.
Yeah.
By the way, this is Connor's material, I believe, not yours.
No, it was mine.
Was it yours?
The Kenny Pickett thing.
Really the Kenny Pickett. Yeah,
Kenny Pickett.
That's fair. That's, we had a Fantasy Life injury update came in on the phone during that. We're going to spare you on this one.
Fantasy Life.
You had my back while I was gone. I'll have your back.
It's very exciting because Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase will play tonight. Both are FantasyLife.com investors.
Congrats.
I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for them.
I need the Ravens.
There we go. Yeah. It's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Jay, for Connor, for producer Steven, who's leaving us, I'm Matthew. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace out!
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.